Okay. Hello and welcome to the ADHD Deep Dive, the show that's not about ADHD, but is filled with proof it exists. My name is David J. Mund, and I will be your host for this morning, afternoon, evening, mid-afternoon, lunchtime, dinner time, breakfast time, whatever time you're listening to this, I'll be your host for that. Today is March 18th, which means that this episode is coming out on the 20th. Last night was my band Midwest Skies show. We played a show, a festival promoted by Hear This Promotions. It was Hear This Fest, H-E-A-R, F-E-S-T, exclamation mark, Hear This Fest. And what a weird out-of-body experience that was. Midwest Skies, our band, I've mentioned this a few times, has been around for like 10 to 15 years. And there's something happening right now that we're all sort of observing. And it's not just since, well, I mean, it is since me joining the band, but I can't take direct credit for that as much as I'd love to. There's like a pop happening. Lots of people are turning up to these shows knowing Midwest Skies, knowing Midwest Skies music, knowing that I am their new drummer, just through seeing it on social media. So people are like coming up and talking to me. And I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, because I did skip last week's episode, if anybody's listening now, you know, sorry about that. I needed a week off and I didn't, you know, I just needed a week off. There was definitely some feelings of guilt lingering in the air once Monday came around and I just didn't upload anything. I'm just really burned out. And allow me to complain for a minute about maybe a first world problem. But financially, I'm always stressed. I'm always freaking the fuck out. I have no idea how I'm going to make it through the end of the month. I have no idea how I'm going to pay my rent and pay my bills and all that kind of stuff until right before everything gets paid. But creatively, whew, things are happening right now. And I'm trying to just kind of embrace them as they happen rather than putting up guardrails and dissociating. I'm just trying to be very present during these creative endeavors, these things that I'm doing. Anyways, I apologize, first of all. I did not get home last night / this morning until about 5 in the morning. And then Judah, my dog, woke me up around 8 o'clock to go to the bathroom. So these eye bags, the dark circles, the exhausted voice, the exhausted persona energy that I'm emitting right now, I apologize for all that, but I am a sleepy bald boy. I just thought that we should talk because it's been a little while. I needed to put out an episode and there's plenty that I would like to talk about. If you did hear the last episode, though, I was kind of mentioning that there are some people that I want to talk to on the podcast, but right now scheduling guests is really difficult for me because certain times only work for certain people and I've got my, what's the expression? I've got my hands in too many cookie jars. I don't think that's even close to the correct expression, but I'm doing a lot of things that are not really fitting my schedule properly. So then to devote a 2.5 hour or a 2 to 2.5 hour window to like talk to a guest means I need to prepare for the episode. I need to do a little bit of research. I need to do a little bit of homework. Whereas this, although extremely unstructured in this medium, just you and I, folks, I can just kind of set the camera down, pop it up in the middle of my bedroom and just do a thing. But when last we spoke, I talked about how I wanted the bandmates, Kyle and James, to be on. We haven't really been able to figure out a schedule for that. And I had said that I initially wanted to save some of the conversation around the band stuff for when they were on the podcast. I will not be doing that now. this is my story to tell, and damn it, I want to tell it. So I guess a slight bit of backstory. If you listen to the podcast, you might be familiar because I've had a few of my other past bandmates on, and we've talked about our journey through the musical space. and the bands that I used to be in the past, or the band that I used to be in the past, Live for Tomorrow, we talked about kind of the trajectory of who they are, who I was when I was with them, and where they are now. But a lot of the stuff that's happening to me right now is stuff that I imagined was just a thing of the past once I left for Live for Tomorrow. Now, mind you, I was only like 19 or 20 when I left Live for Tomorrow, so I had no real idea what my 20s were going to look like. But this stuff didn't hit until this most recent year. So 8 years had gone by and I had not, 8 to 10 years had gone by and I had not performed on a stage. I had done theatrical productions as like an actor, but I had not performed on a stage doing singing and drums and stage, witty pop punk stage banter in just about 10 years. And because I thought that, again, these things were just behind me. Once you leave a band, especially as a 18, 19, 20 year old, I was like, well, that's it for me. What's my next thing? And so then, I don't know if this is an ADHD tendency or just a me personality trait, but once I give up something, I go all in on another thing. So if it's not music, then I'm like, well, then I'm going to be an actor. And then if I'm struggling with acting, then I'm like, well, I'm going to be a director. And then if I'm struggling with directing, I'll be like, well, I'll just be a photographer. And then it just goes and goes. And past versions of me have told myself that you can't do all of these things. You have to pick one, pick something and focus on that. And there's definitely some merit to that, in that, like, I really want to have one thing figured out, because right now it's like, put a little bit of some eggs in this basket, then some eggs in this basket, then some eggs over here in this basket, and no baskets are getting full as quickly as I'd like them to, but every basket does seem to be filling up. I am getting better and better at all of these things as time goes on. But musically, again, thought it was over, thought it was never going to happen. I really, really, really lucked into being in the position I'm in right now in Midwest Skies, because I started as a fan of them. I want to say it was 2012, 2013. If you're familiar with that genre of music, my band Live for Tomorrow and, well, my former band Live for Tomorrow and Midwest Skies were on the same bill. We were playing a Hawthorne Heights show up in Kalkaska, Michigan. Sorry, my phone be blowing up. It's actually the Midwest Skies group chat. Let me just hit do not disturb, because fuck those guys, right? Who needs them? I'm the real talent. You hear that, Kyle? You hear that, James? I don't need you. I do need you. Thank you for allowing me to be a part of this. Anywho, yeah, we played a show together, and it was kind of like this feel-good hometown pop-punk collaboration on stage, where the rest of the bill was like a little bit heavier, a little harder music, some screams in there, but neither of us were really doing that at the time. So we were kind of able to click by being the outsiders. They had us on stage, we had them come up on stage with us. Oh my goodness, I'm such a sleepy boy. Yes, so time had gone by and I had been friends with James on the social medias. There was other members of the band, Ryan and Josh at the time when I met them. More recently, within the last 5 years or so, Kyle had joined. And their drummer had just recently left when I bumped into James at a wedding. I can't remember if I ran into him at the wedding or if I was helping him second shoot for the wedding, but we were doing a wedding together. And it had just come up in conversation, like, dude, can you believe it? Like, we used to play music together back in the day, and that's wild, and my, how far we've come, and yada yada. And he's like, well, we're actually still together as a band, but our drummer just left. It's like, oh man, that sucks, dude. If I had a drum set, I would love nothing more than to be back in a pop punk band. And I think in that moment, James was like, well, we have a practice drum set. I mean, it's nothing fancy, but if you'd like to come jam with us sometime, I'm sure we could figure it out. And James and Kyle had lived in Grand Rapids, and I was living up north for the last 10 years, or just not near where they are. So in the past, that would have just been impossible. But now living in Grand Rapids, I was like, well, sure, they're only 10, 15 minutes away. Let's go check it out. So I drive over there. I meet Kyle for the first time at this practice, this jam session. And I had known a bit of Midwest Skies music because, like I said, I was kind of a fan. So I was like, I'll learn, I don't know, 4 or 5 Midwest Skies songs, and we'll just jam them as a set, and then we'll just play, see what we can do, see what we can come up with. And it very quickly became apparent that, like, oh, we kind of click. We all click musically. And fortunately, they have a catalog and a discography behind them that I really just needed to learn their songs and then kind of show up. And they're such a well-oiled machine. James has kind of kept this project pristine and kept it going, even through lineup changes and the world issues. He's been very consistent. If that means that Midwest Skies is an acoustic performance group for a little while, so be it, as long as Midwest Skies still plays. And those dividends really paid in, especially for when I freaking joined the band, because it was kind of at that point that we started to realize that, like, there is some opportunity here. I think I am going to join this band. But this drum set it is a practice drum set. There was nothing particularly fancy about it. And they both reflected on where Midwest Skies is/was at the time. And they made the decision that the band needed a drummer and the band needed a better drum set. And so they went out of their way to buy a drum set for the band that I now have access to play. I could not have been luckier in that position. I could not put a dime towards this band, especially at the start. I mean, I'll buy like new drum heads, which are like 15, 20 bucks. But my God, hundreds and hundreds of dollars for a full drum set. That was pretty much the main reason I thought this shit was over for me, is because when I left Live for Tomorrow, I was so desperate for money, because I was a freaking broke 20-year-old, that I sold my drum set to pay a bill. And, you know, I wasn't going to have that type of money anytime soon, I'll tell you that much. So it very quickly developed from there. We pretty much practice every single Tuesday for the last year. We'll practice around noon, run the set, work on a cover or so just to play. Sorry, my freaking autofocus is slipping in and out. If you're watching the video version, I apologize. But it was just familiarize ourselves with the set, which is a 6-song set. There's usually one cover in there, dependent on the crowd. What cover we're going to do, we don't know. But ever since then, I mean, I got to be honest, like, I've helped write, of course, excuse me, we're working on a new EP. That was kind of one of the big things about me joining in the first place, was like, I'm so down to jam, because that was a big reason for moving to Grand Rapids in the first place, is just creative collaboration. It's something I desperately needed and wanted. So I was like, yeah, I'm more than happy to play and jam and hang out. But if I'm going to be in the band, there's two things I really want to do. I want to make a music video. That's the love. I really want to make a music video. And I want to write new music. So maybe in the reverse direction, I want to write new music, and damn it, I want some music videos for it. And so we pretty much agreed that we would be working on an EP, which we're not really making any announcements about yet. Phenomenal progress. In fact, I think I've mentioned it plenty of times on the podcast before, but with new specifics today, our song Come Back For Me, the first single off the EP, and the first song that Midwest Skies has released since 2015, 2016, and the first song that they've released since I was in the band, that we've released. I gotta start saying we. I'm a part of that. I'm a part of something. But the music video just came out. I would love to take more credit on assisting with visuals. However, it's pretty much James's work. Shot on his 4K cinema camera with an anamorphic lens. His phenomenal lighting gear that he has accumulated over the last few years of being a freelance cinematographer as well. And holy shit, it really came together well. I'm so proud of how that looks. I can maybe list myself as a production assistant or like a first AD, but the whole cast and crew was me, James, and Kyle. Kyle, James, and me. So yeah, I unfortunately, annoyingly, have to give all the credit to James. My beautiful mug is in the music video. And again, I hit the circles with sticks and I made the music sound good. I helped make the music sound good. But yeah, I got to give it up to his directorial skills because goddamn, that music video turned out really well and I'm so proud of it. If you're watching the video version, I'm sure that there will be a link in the description. Audio version, there's also a description in the link. If you're using Spotify or Apple Podcasts and you don't want to jump away from your app to go check out the music video after this, you know, an extra stream of the song itself would be nice. So wait until this episode is done and then tap over to Come Back For Me by Midwest Skies. Shit, maybe add it to your queue right now so that it plays right after the little ding-dong music that I have for the podcast. You know, somebody's actually asked me about that, where I got that music. That is actually the music that I use for the intro and the outro. That's actually something that I made on GarageBand. When I was living in New York, I was like having these feelings of like, am I ever going to make music again? Blah, blah, blah. And so I made a bunch of demos, I guess we could call them, on my phone using GarageBand. And there are some structural pieces that I'm proud of, the way that things were kind of built, but you know, they're ultimately demos. This was a demo. There's lyrics that exist for this song. Actually, I could probably tell you it's not really that big of a deal, but the intro and outro song, it's just very simplistic, twitchy, bumpy music. But some of the lyrics were like, I fell into a feeling that put me upon the ledge. It never ends. My game that I play inside my head. I can't remember any of the lyrics. But it was something, it had a lot to do with like having ADHD and constantly my brain is just scrambling and it makes me depressed sometimes, but sometimes it makes me happy about what I'm hyperfixating on or hyperfocusing on. I don't really remember the specifics of the lyrics. Like I said, it was a demo that I made years and years ago, but it was just sitting around on my phone, lyricless, vocalless. And when I had the idea to make the ADHD deep dive, I needed some music and I didn't really want to use a royalty-free track because those could pop up everywhere. I mean, look at It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, right? The music that they use is in the public domain. It's royalty-free music. And you hear that music in like commercials and other television series and or movies. And it's like, what is happening here? This is the music from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. It's not. It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia just happens to use that music. And I didn't want that. I wanted my own tune. So I don't know. It's a pretty simple mesh of sounds that I think works for this podcast. Doesn't really need to be a fancy intro with beautiful, powerful, meaningful lyrics. And I just need something that lets you know that the ding dong of the intro means that we're about to get started. And then the ding dong of the outro means that I'll see you next week. So there you have it. How did I get here? Who knows? Anyways, I'm sure I've told enough about how I joined Midwest Skies, but more recently we've been playing at least a show a month and we're sounding tight. I'm very excited with how the band, or with the direction that the band is actually headed in musically, because it feels so much more, I don't know, maybe this is selfish and this is my ego talking because I just joined last year, but I sense a new aura of authenticity around the music that the band is making. Like, it doesn't feel like we're trying to play something to fit a particular genre. We're just making the music that we love. And I could not be more proud of that. And likewise, I think it's getting the most insanely validating response that I've ever really felt from a creative project. Looking out into a crowd and seeing, you know, let's just say 100, sometimes more, sometimes less. And sometimes those people are there to see us, and sometimes they're there to see other bands, but they just happen to see us along the way. The reception, the feedback, the love from the fans and the crowd is like weird. People are asking me to sign autographs. People are asking me to take pictures with them because they're a big fan. And I don't know them. And that's so strange. I've always been so deeply supported by friends and family. Sorry, I'm going to bump this key light up a little bit. I think we're a little dark here on the video version. I needed to increase that up a little bit. Look at that contrast. Love it. What was I saying? Oh, yeah, I've always been very deeply supported by my friends and family. I've always been extremely encouraged to continue pursuing my musical pursuits or pursuing my musical career and my video and acting career and all that kind of stuff. But to have strangers, even though this is backwards, right? I feel like this is maybe backwards. I'm realizing it in real time that like the time I feel real success is when the stranger's validation comes in, not the validation of my loved ones. But you know, I'm not used to that. So I think I got to embrace it a little bit, right? I got to use that as some sort of catalyst to feel good about what I do. And then if you get away from like your friends and family, that's when you need to maybe reflect a little bit more. I don't know. I don't know how I'm supposed to feel about it, but a bucket list show of mine was always to play the Pyramid Scheme in Grand Rapids. And not only did we do that, but we had an amazing crowd reception, amazing ticket sales, sold a ton of merch, took a shit ton of pictures, signed autographs. That's weird. Ugh, it makes me feel dirty when I say it out loud because it's like, okay, Hollywood, you're signing autographs. Woo woo, look at you go. Big man on campus. But I feel it sometimes. It's very strange. It's not something that like I can't wait to do for the rest of time. I can't wait for people to come up and want to take pictures with me and sign, have me sign autographs and blah. You know, it's a cool thing, but like even the quote famous people get tired of that shit. But not me yet. I'm loving it. And then yeah, again, last night we played Hear This Fest, and it was the same thing. It was like, where are these people coming from? How and why do they love us? How and why do they love me? I don't know, but that's something I got to be more present for. I'm very present for the actual doing of the creative thing, but I dissociate a lot when I get that like validation I've been looking for. When I get compliments, I don't really receive compliments well. I either shut down or deflect or blush and or dismiss. I shut you down. Like, wow, you're such a good drummer. No, I'm not. I mean, I'm okay, but did you see the other drummer? Or whatever, things like that. So I need to be more present. I need to be more thankful. I need to be more outwardly thankful to the people who are complimenting me because come on, man, like that's so cool. It's so cool that people would tell me that they love my work, that they love my art. There was even people at both of these shows that listened to the podcast and who know me primarily through the podcast. Like we followed each other on Instagram or whatever, and then they did their research on me. And it's so cool to know that I'm doing the things, but this wouldn't be the ADHD deep dive if I didn't complain and project a little bit. I'm freaking so broke. I don't know how, I don't know when that part ends. I'm really looking forward to, you know, money coming in at a certain point. I know that's never supposed to be the guiding light. You should never do something for the money. But have you seen the price of eggs? Have you seen the price of gas? I'm struggling here. And as I've mentioned multiple times, the more and more I work my way through this creative field, the more and more I realize I don't want to hold the camera. So usually this last year was my first was my first real year of being a full-time freelancer. And then I do the bullshit, you know, side gig delivery hustle stuff. Oh my God. I'm so sorry, people. Oh, I'm such a tired old man. My lumbar hurts. My body is sore. My eyes are heavy. Knees weak. Mom's linguine. Yeah, I woke up at, I think I said this already, but I got home at like 5 a.m, tried to very quickly fall asleep because I knew that the first thing that would happen is around 8:30, Judah would be waking me up to go to the bathroom. She runs like clockwork, and fortunately my roommate watched her yesterday, let her out, fed her, took care of her, gave her the love, gave both her and Gus the love and snuggles they need. But Judah is a finely tuned machine, and that girl's got to poop at 8:30 in the morning, and there's nothing stopping her. She'll never poop in the house. Thank God. I love her for that. She's such a good dog in that. Like, I could genuinely be gone for like 3 days, and she would never poop or pee in the house. That's never happened, just to be clear. I would never leave my dog for days. I actually have a real hard time leaving my dogs. I know there actually has been a totally separate episode of this episode, or of this show, kind of dedicated to my love for my dogs, but I do have some serious guilt when I leave them, when I go shoot a wedding for 12 hours or do a show halfway across the state and I have to have somebody watch them. Because I feel guilt for a couple different reasons. One, typically I'm bringing them to my parents' house. And there are some health issues that make it a little bit difficult to watch my dogs sometimes. So I can't always rely on them as much as I love to. And my dogs love their grandparents and their grandparents love their grand doggies. But it's just not, it's not the most convenient to always bring them over there and have, you know, my mom and dad watch them. So there's guilt there, but also even when I leave for work for like, I don't know, a 4 or 5 hour day, I'm like, I can't get them off my brain because I know they're just in the bedroom, just shut, and they have access to water and they have access to a bed and it's cozy in here. But I just think about Gus's past, and you know, Gus was a bit of a trauma dog. I rescued him when he was like 4 or 5, covered in scars, scrawny little body. He was the runt of a litter. He was raised in a home where there was fighting dogs, fighting pit bulls. And he's had such a tough life. And ever since he's been with me, he's been the most spoiled that a dog could be. And so when he's not being spoiled, I start to feel bad. So I think about him being lonely, thinking like, oh my God, my dad's going to leave me forever again. I'm going to have to go back to the shelter and live out my last days as an unwanted senior dog. And then I think about Judah, who's just been with me every second of every day since she was born. And honestly, since I became a, I don't want to use the word spiritually aware, self-aware still doesn't feel like the right word, but since official adulthood, she's been with me forever, every step of the way. I got her when I was 18 or 19. I think I got her right before I left Live for Tomorrow, actually. So way to go, Judah. You did that to me. Thanks. The last 10 years have been great because of you. I don't know. I just feel some guilt when I leave, and I shouldn't, because they're well loved, well taken care of. They're always in good hands. I never take them to like a boarding facility. I always either have friends come take care of them, they stay with my roommate, or I drive them an hour and a half away so that they can go stay with my parents, because that's how much I love these little bastards. But literally all day yesterday at the show, I was like, how are my dogs doing? Are they okay? And I knew that my roommate had let them out. I knew that he had fed them. I knew that everything was totally fine. And they were fine. And I was fine. And it was fine. but as a person who knows almost 100, well, not almost 100, I hate that I'm cutting myself off right now, because I am pretty positive that I'm 100% certain that I don't want children, and I hope one day to surgically assure that I do not have children. But, you know, for the time being, these guys are kind of my kids. They're the closest thing I'll really ever have to having children, if all goes according to plan. And I'm sure to those out there listening who have both pets and dogs, or pets and children, think that, like, oh, you'll never know, it's not the same. Children are children, pets are pets, they're totally different. Yeah, I get that. That's why I don't want kids. I almost hardly wanted dogs. I mean, I've always loved dogs and wanted dogs, but I did not know, getting into it, the true, real severity of the responsibility of dog ownership. 10 years of vet bills, 10 years of every month buying food, you know, figuring out how the hell I'm going to get to and from work or a project or somewhere locationally, and I can't bring them with me. Logistically, it's just a very difficult thing to own a dog. And I'm pretty positive that once these guys go, I will still need some sort of companionship, and I imagine that I'll probably have a pet. But that pet might be a fish or a cat. A cat at the most. I think that for a while, that these guys set the bar high enough for me to be good for a little while after they pass. And I know that some people actually criticize me for talking about the death of my dogs so casually. Because Gus is 12, Judah's 10, you know, they're not spring chickens, but I don't think they're, while I don't believe Gus is long for this world, I think he's still got a few years left in him. And so, you know, I don't talk about my dog's death like, ooh, fingers crossed, can't wait, because I will be devastated. And I don't mean to use this word lightly, but it will probably traumatize me. It will be my first death of my own pet. You know, we've lost family pets or whatever. But I've never been there for putting a dog down. I've never been there when a dog was killed in an accident or something and I had to see or find them. I've been so lucky to have genuinely pretty healthy, pretty much well-behaved dogs, and it's kind of gone off without a hitch for the most part. I mean, obviously there have been the most stressful days and nights and weeks because they're pissing me off, or, you know, I had an ex that actually didn't like my dogs, and so it became kind of an argument for us in the household every day. So, you know, they cause me stress, they cause me anxiety. And sometimes I want to skin them and turn them into footstools. But genuinely, I would not have it any other way than the way I've had it for the last 10 years with Judah and, what, 6, 7-ish years with Gus. And I don't really think, I know every person believes that their kid is the best kid and every person believes that their pet is the cutest pet. But I think I hit the jackpot with these guys, and I don't know that I'm really ready to press my luck again. I know for certain that if I ever get another dog, it would not be a pup. That's a guilt thing. As far as just, I don't know what the word is, hospitality, generosity. There's so many senior dogs and even just midlife dogs out there that need a home that are perfectly good. Perfectly capable lovers. You know, and I would probably only rescue from here on out any animals that I get. I actually have a project coming up that I have not officially scheduled and put on the books, but it's something I really, really, really want to do. You may have actually seen me posting something about this. I would like to offer free portrait photos of senior dogs to help in their adoption at some sort of shelter. I want to bring my lights in and my camera and my studio type portrait photography type gear and just get these babies some homes before they go. You know, I don't love the idea of senior dogs just waiting to be adopted and then they die in the shelter. Like, that's just no way for them to end their lives. And the idea, thinking about Gus like that, especially the like love that he's provided me over the last however long, like the idea that a dog this capable of changing my life and like warming my heart and melting my soul, rotting away in a cage while it watches humans come in and out and all of its friends around it get adopted day after day while it just sits there wishing that it was young enough and spry enough to be adopted, just eats me alive, you know? And so at some point soon, I would really like to go in. I mean, I know that I would do it for free. There's no question in my mind. That's more of a passion project, something that I would like to do as kind of a give back. But just the logistics of setting that up, especially as a person who needs to work all the time, because again, I need some freaking money. I want to do that. I've got a few different types of passion projects coming up that I feel like are going to nourish my soul in the way that I need them to. That particular project, I'm working on kind of a creative message statement type project with a queer couple that I recently met as well, that we're kind of collaborating on to fulfill us all creatively as well. I want some more queer representation on my portfolio, so that'll kind of be, you know, the passion project type thing that I'm working on. But also, I've got some short films that have officially been written and are slightly mood boarded, are kind of storyboarded out. Oh, I get intimidated by that part of the process, because once I do the writes and then the revisions and then the rewrites and then the rewrites of the revisions, I start going, this script is dog shit. I shouldn't even do this. So we'll see where I'm at with that. But in theory, next month, I'll be hanging out with Nikolai, my friend Nikolai, member of Live for Tomorrow. We'll be shooting some of those narrative projects together. And I believe that would end up having me act in them. And at a certain point, that's got to be the light, the guiding light again. It's like, I don't know if my physical appearance, I don't know what roles I'm built for or made for in the traditional Hollywood sense, but I do miss acting. And I know that once upon a time, I was really good at it. I don't really do it much anymore. I don't really act anymore. And I think it has a lot to do with the fact that I don't really shoot my own narrative projects anymore. I shoot wedding videos. I'm actually working on a wedding edit off to the side right now. My first wedding of the 2023 season, which was great, by the way. Phenomenal time. Great wedding. I love doing that. The edit is just, I hate editing. I hate shooting. I hate editing. You know, I hate working. I think that's what it boils down to. I hate working. And, you know, anybody who tells you, like, if you love what you do, you will never work a day in your life, bullshit. Bullshit. It's a lie. It won't feel like soul-crushing, corporate-owned, profit-driven labor. But it's still rough. You know, I'm my own boss. I have to hold myself accountable. I have to punish myself when I fuck up. I have to praise myself when I succeed. Was that the worst way to describe that? Just saying like, oh, it's really hard being a creative. I have to tell myself good job. That's not what I mean. There's just a lot of expectations that I place on my own self to be good or to be consistent. And that's not very easy. If it was easy, we'd all be doing it, right? Okay, all right. What do you say, puppies? Is it time? Should we wrap it? Should we wrap this? I think we should. I think they need to go out. Judah's already had her morning poo, but, you know, she probably got three or four more poos left in the tank. Gus pees on just about everything at any time, so I could let him out the door and he'll pee immediately and then come back in, let him out 30 seconds later and he'll pee again. But again, these pups just don't pee or poop in the house. God love them. God love them. I can't really say what next week's episode will be because I do have a few guests. I keep saying that I have guests lined up. I'm in constant communication with the guests that will be coming up. It's just a matter of like making it work. These last 3 weeks have been insane for me, which is why I needed to do a solo episode, then skip, then do another solo episode. It's just because lining up somebody else's schedule with my own, it just doesn't always work. And today was an excuse for me because, you know, A, I'm exhausted, got no sleep, hardly any sleep. B, I really needed to catch up on this type of stuff anyway. I need to do more editing. I needed to do the podcast for Monday. But C, it's a blizzard outside again. So I didn't want to go anywhere. I didn't want to do anything. And this all just so happened to work out in my favor. So what did we get? We got about 45 minutes, maybe a half hour to 45 minutes in for this podcast. I'll take that. Anytime I turn on this light and set the backdrop up, and even though the backdrop isn't really the backdrop anymore, all my plants are moving out to different rooms in the house. And so right now it's just my snake plant. And let me tilt up. If you're watching the video version, you can see I've just got some decorative stuff in my room. But I mean, my dresser is pretty much half of my backdrop right now. I just thought, oh, bless you, Judah. I just thought that setting it up the way that I have it set up, where there's no real pressure to like highly decorate or fancify the whole thing. I can just click this light on, click that light on, turn the camera on after sitting at the desk for a while or laying in bed for a while. When it's time, it's time. And today it was time. I needed to do it. There's a lot I want to get off my chest. There's a lot of legitimately frustrating and oftentimes sad mental health issues that I still deal with on a day-to-day basis. And I still want this podcast to be the medium in which I can talk about those things. But I think if I'm just doing that every week, or if I skip a few weeks and then just come back to talk about how sad I am, that, you know, why would you be here just to listen to some guy whine and complain when really his life, ultimately, he's doing a lot of cool things. He has a lot to be proud of. His wallet's just a little bone dry right now. So, guests for the future: Kyle Smith, James Johnson, Fig Vandermolen, Molly Tiesma, Chris Houghton. I've got a few episodes that I've shot in the past that I'm nervously hanging on to because I'm nervous for them to go public with other guests because I got high during the episode and just wasn't doing, or got high before the episode and wasn't doing well as a host, or I was exhausted by the end because it was a long, emotionally taxing conversation. You know, so maybe those will be released from the vault at a certain point, but I apologize for missing last week. I appreciate you being here this week. I appreciate you being here whenever you're here, whether you're watching or listening or just catching a little snippet of a clip. If you are listening to the audio version, it's important for me to remind you that there is a new YouTube channel for the ADH Deep Dive. It is no longer on the David J. Mund YouTube channel. So if you want to subscribe to that, A, I would genuinely appreciate it, and B, I would actually recommend that you do that so that you can get notified of new videos, new clips, new updates, new announcements. So you can tap the link in the description to head over to the YouTube page and subscribe there. I'll be uploading shorts and clips and full episodes from the podcast, and then back on the David J. Mund channel, there will be, I don't know yet, kind of anything and everything right now that I can think of, whether it's just funny, quick YouTube short ideas or hopefully narrative short film type projects, scripted acting projects. And then some of the stuff that I was enjoying doing for a little while, these like feel good, motivational, inspirational type projects. My God, my dogs are so fucking cute. They're snuggling right now. I just love them so much. Anyways, I'm tired. I'm a sleepy boy. I think I should probably take a nap. Maybe that's what I'll do. Maybe I'll take a nap. Okay, everybody. Thank you again for tuning into the ADHD Deep Dive, the show that's not about ADHD, but was clearly just proof that it exists. Thank you for coming. I love you. And in theory, if all goes according to plan, I will see you next week. Goodbye.